right, welcome on in for another episode of the unofficial WCC Hoops podcast. It is St. Mary's Day. It is tournament time for the Gaels. They will be taking on the 12 seed Grand Canyon from the WAC. I am really happy to have Alex Jensen in, the play-by-play voice of the Gaels, on in to talk about this matchup, what the Gaels have been up to in the last week or so since their WCC championship, Selection Sunday, all that good stuff. Alex, glad to have you on. How was the trip up to Spokane? And how were the vibes with the team?
Zach, thanks for having me. Welcome to Spokane for the first time, by the way. I take an annual trip up here, as you know. But the trip up here was nice and easy, much easier than last year's trip all the way to Albany, New York. That was a nice little 5.5 hour flight. This one was about an hour and a half. So, I know Randy Bennett, obviously the team likes that. And, you know, I think the biggest thing for St. Mary's right now is you get some time to rest. I mean, by the time they take the floor, their last game will have been 10 days ago. So get some time to rest. Hopefully, you know, Harry Wessels gets healthy. We'll see. I have nothing to report there, by the way. But most importantly, I mean, you know, we know how good Randy Bennett, this coaching staff, is when they get time to prepare. And having the extra day is a big deal. Playing on Friday is a big deal. So, I would say spirits are high. The guys seem loose. We're going to go over to practice here in a couple hours, and I'll let you know.
All right. So as we kind of now look at this squad, I mean, the St. Mary's team in that Gonzaga game, they put all the pieces together. They came out the gate strong. Gonzaga did make a couple runs, but every time that the Zags made a push, the Gaels pushed right back. And that was almost a huge adjustment. After the Gonzaga game in Moraga, they didn't beat us, we beat ourselves. And it really kind of seemed like they kind of took that mentality. They did all the right things. They kind of checked off all those boxes. As you kind of evaluate and are able to take a step back from that game, what were your impressions of just the way they handled that championship game against the Zags?
Yeah, you know, when St. Mary's won or clinched a share of the regular season title, I mentioned this at the selection show, but Mitchell Saxon had a telling quote to me, which is, hey, we've done this already. You know, I just think that there's been such a mindset with this team, you know, in the locker room amongst the guys, that we're trying to set the bar higher now. We've done the regular season championship thing already. We want it outright. And we also want to win the tournament championship. And, you know, I think there is some accuracy to that game in Moraga. I think, first of all, Gonzaga is very good. These two teams play 10 times. I think each team is going to win 5. You know, I just think that's how evenly matched these two teams are, especially at this point in the season. But I just think that there was some motivation on Gonzaga's side being snubbed from all the WCC awards. But there was also some motivation from St. Mary's side to really go out there and prove that this is our year. And with two great coaches like this, you know, you're going to see adjustment to counter adjustment to counter adjustment. And we saw St. Mary's counter adjustment setting the tone early in that game, you know, with the interior passing of Ryan Nemhard, who was a wizard in Moraga. I mean, just, you know, his dishes across the lane to Graham EK, putting him in a position to succeed. There was no better player on the floor in Moraga, first of all, than Ryan Nemhard in that game. But then you go back to the other side, and I just thought that Randy Bennett and the Gaels had a fantastic game plan, and they set the tone early. Augustus Marshallonis had quite a few deflections. I think they forced 4 turnovers, if that's right, on Nemhard. 4 turnovers. He had 22 assists and 1 turnover in his previous 2 games, including that game in Moraga coming in. So, you know, I think it's a combination of a bunch of different things. I think it was the game plan, and, you know, this team was really hungry for that WCC tournament championship. They really were, just like they were hungry for that, the outright regular season title. And, you also throw into the mix that these two teams are pretty evenly matched, right? And on any given night, those matchups could tip the scale in one of the two teams' favor. So I think it was a kind of a confluence of factors, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I really think that this St. Mary's leadership structure, not only the coaches, but the players were the ones that set the tone for that business-like approach. They weren't just happy to be in the title game. And I'm not saying that that's been the case in previous years, but they really want to go out and win it. And in this iteration of St. Mary's Gonzaga, you know, obviously Gonzaga has been one of the top five teams in the country over the last couple of years, the Drew Timmy teams. They really had one of their best shots to do it, and they took advantage.
They really did. Big adjustment I really liked is just in the tournament in general, not just in the Gonzaga game, was just how they used Mason Forbes and how they kind of utilized him in a different way. He ended up being the kind of like that cutter to the basket, almost a rim runner at times. And that was something that added wrinkle that I think we saw from that group. As you kind of like look at like, talk a little bit about just like how like Mason Forbes, it seems like, and yet we've seen him get better and better as the season's gone along. And in the tournament, it felt like we kind of got to see almost the full package of what he might be able to bring.
Yeah, I think a couple, and that's a great point, Zach. I mean, I think that there was an element of this coaching staff understanding how to best utilize Mason Forbes' skill set, you know, against a high quality, a tournament caliber team like Gonzaga. And B, you know, Mason's getting more comfortable as he goes along, right? He really hasn't played for the most part in like 3 years. You know, because you had the COVID cancellation at Harvard, you had injuries, and then obviously he redshirted last year. So he's still kind of, you know, at this point in the season, you know, he's playing heavy minutes for the first time in a St. Mary's uniform. And again, for the first time in 3 years. But, you know, I agree with you. I thought that they were still figuring out in the couple weeks after Joshua Jefferson went down how best to utilize his skill set with the guys on the floor. And I thought they utilized him on the post very well. One thing I love about Mason is how well he moves without the ball. He has a great understanding of the game. He's got a very high basketball IQ, and putting him in positions to succeed helped the entire club, obviously. You know, he doesn't have the same skill set as Joshua Jefferson. If you try and play that same way, it's not going to be – you're not putting Mason Forbes in a position to succeed. And obviously, you know, those two guys have different skill sets. Mason Forbes gives you an incredible versatility defensively as well, with his ability to step out and guard – you know, an athletic wing or a stretch four man on the perimeter and bang down low. And, you know, I've heard the St. Mary's coaching staff, you know, say this before. He's one of the only guys St. Mary's has had, you know, over the last few years, really over the last decade or so, that, you know, you fall asleep on him, all of a sudden his elbows are at the rim, right? So he's an above the rim big. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think just figuring out those X's and O's and then Mason getting more comfortable is a huge help to this St. Mary's team. And I'm glad you brought that up. See, he was a huge part of the reason the Gales had so much success in the WCC tournament against both Santa Clara and Gonzaga.
And now as we kind of transition, they're here in Spokane, which obviously like is a huge, huge kind of relief because it's like one of the closest locations. They're familiar with the trip, they're familiar with the city, familiar with the fans that are going to be here in town for the most part. As you kind of start to evaluate this Grand Canyon team, because this is a good team coming out of the WAP. They beat USF earlier in the year, they have a win against San Diego State. Yeah. They're going to be tough, and they have a lot of talent on the squad. As you've started to do your homework on them, as the team has started to evaluate, what is kind of like your read on this Grand Canyon team and how it presents matchup wise?
I think the first thing that jumps off the page, especially if Harry Wessels is unable to go. And again, I am not reporting anything. I do not know what Harry Wessels' status is. We're recording this on Thursday. We'll find out later today. But the first thing that jumped off the page to me is how much Grand Canyon gets the free throw line. I mean, 20, you know, a quarter of their points, Zach, on the year, come from the free throw line. And that is, I think that's top five in the country, according to KenPom. It is. So that's the first matchup that jumps off the page to me. They're not, you know, it's a big backcourt, 6'4", 6'4", 6'7", but there's not a whole lot of muscle in the front court. So how physical, you know, the officials allow this game to be, they allowed it to be very physical in the WCC championship game. And the more physicality, I think the more it benefits St. Mary's. So that's number one. That's the number one thing that jumps off the page to me. Another thing that jumps off the page to me, and, you know, I think we say this a lot with St. Mary's, is the offensive rebounding. These are two very good offensive rebounding teams, but St. Mary's does a better job on the defensive boards than Grand Canyon does. Grand Canyon, you know, their offensive rebound percentage defense, in other words, the percentage of offensive rebounds they allow is near 30%. That's in the 200s in the country, according to KenPom. You know, St. Mary's number two in preventing offensive rebounds. So I think, you know, that, you know, the battle on the offensive glass is going to go a long way to determining this game. The Gales had a dozen offensive rebounds against Gonzaga. They out-rebounded Gonzaga by 17, which is unbelievable. I think they won the rebounding battle in all three of those games against Gonzaga. So those are the first two things that jump off the page. And then number three, obviously, is Tyon Grant Foster, who's one of the best players in the West. But he is a lot of Grand Canyon's production. I mean, he takes 30% of their shots. At 6'7", a wing player, we'll see, you know, who takes the assignment there. But both he for Grand Canyon, both Tyon Grant Foster and Ray Harrison, they're the two highest usage players on this Grand Canyon team. Ray Harrison, a 6'4 point guard. Tyon Grant, the 6'7", Grant Foster, pardon me, you know, the 6'7 wing. So who draws a defensive assignment there, you know, is going to be a big determining factor. If I'm guessing right now, I'm saying Marshall Onis on Harrison, and then you kind of rotate wings on Grant Foster, just see how the game, you know, kind of plays itself out. But I think for St. Mary's, you look at this matchup on paper, and you take into consideration the Gales' compromised depth. Again, we'll see how much tomorrow night. Their compromised depth on the interior, and you're fortunate that you didn't get a draw with a team like a Michigan State style, which has a lot of big, beefy dudes. They're going to play physical. They're going to clog up the paint. That's not what this matchup is. Although Grand Canyon does draw a lot of fouls, you know, I just watching the first half of that game against UT Arlington, the WAC championship game, they do it in a different style. It's not the big, beefy, physical style. They're slashing to the basket. So I think Mitchell Saxon's ability to protect the rim, you know, against drives from guys like Grant Foster will be key. And doing it without fouling especially will be key. But I think those two things, preventing foul trouble, not allowing Grand Canyon to get to the line, is one big key. And then the offensive boards. Who wins that battle will go a long way, I think, to deciding this first round game. You're right. Grand Canyon is a heck of a team. But, you know, St. Mary's has been playing just about as well as anybody since Christmas. I think Bart Torvik has them number seven in the country since Christmas in terms of adjusted offense efficiency. Obviously, knock on wood, they've only lost once since then. You mentioned the wins for Grand Canyon. So, but anyway, long story short, Zach, I think those two things are the things to keep an eye on: the foul trouble for the Gales and the offensive boards.
I'm with you there. And this is the one, because I think a lot of people do kind of forget, or I think with St. Mary's and also Gonzaga to an extent, like both the WCC teams, everyone kind of looked at what happened back in November, back in December, and kind of painted the season off of what happened early on. And right, there hasn't been a whole lot of that paying attention of what's happened in the last few months since then. Who have they beaten since then? The St. Mary's team, again, they beat Gonzaga twice this year. This is a team that actually has done something that hasn't been done in a while since 2012, obviously the outright regular season and tournament championship in the same year. It's been a long time since we've seen it. Let's go all the way back to the Delhi years actually kind of find a team that was able to do it.
Right.
Which it's kind of wild to think that was that long ago that we were talking about that team with Rob Jones, the Clint Steindles, I believe that was the Brad Waldo on that team. That was a long, long time ago. But looking at the pod that they're in, because this is the other interesting thing, we kind of look at Grand Canyon. It's like, if they're able to get by Grand Canyon, I just on the surface level, this one feels much more favorable to St. Mary's than the last couple of years have been. They've been the 5 seed 3 straight years. They ran into the 4 seed UCLA, which felt like a really felt underseeded UCLA team at that point. And UConn obviously last year was, I don't know how they ended up a 4 seed. Like obviously the eventual national champion.
Yeah,
they're a machine, and they're back as a 1 seed this year. And most people are picking them. I have them in my bracket too. But it feels like the potential matchups in round two this time around lean a little bit more favorable to St. Mary's. What's your kind of read on like the rest of the pod, if it's Charleston or if it ends up being Alabama?
Yeah, I think if you look first of all at Alabama, you know, and one thing that St. Mary's ran into, especially with UCLA, is that it was not a contrast in styles. UCLA played a very similar style to St. Mary's, but they had so many guys who had been through it before. You know, Jaime Jaquez and Johnny Juzang and Tiger Campbell, Tiger Campbell, by the way, is, I don't think he gets enough love for being in, it's just an exceptional college player. I mean, in terms of college point guards the last decade, I don't think there are many that played a better brand of winning basketball than Tiger Campbell did. He controlled that entire game. And you mentioned UConn last year, you know, was a machine. But when I think, first of all, when you look at Alabama, you see a contrast of styles. I mean, Alabama wants to get up and down. They want to, you know, throw the ball in the basket. They want it to be, you know, a free-flowing end-to-end game, which is not what St. Mary's does. So if you take transition away from them, you take early shot clock away from them, what does that look like? What does it look like if Alabama has to guard for 23, 25 seconds every time down the floor? What does that look like by the last 5-10 minutes? So I think the contrast in styles, to your point, at least with the 4-seed Alabama, who has been struggling, by the way, Alabama has coming into play. They've lost 3 of their last 4, 4 of their last 6. They gave up 102 points to Florida in the SEC tournament. You know, they give up
tip cap to Todd Golden.
Thank you, Todd. Yeah, exactly. They give up over a point per possession defensively. They're, you know, in the hundreds in defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. So you have a team that's an exceptional offensive team. Obviously, they're one of the best in the country. They lead the nation in points per game. But, you know, on the other side of the floor, can they stop you? I mean, that's the biggest question. When you get down to those grindy type of games, those type of games where possessions are limited, if St. Mary's is able to control the tempo, which is easier said than done against a team the caliber of Alabama, I agree with you from the standpoint of, you know, it's the biggest contrast in style that St. Mary's has seen over the last couple of years. So if St. Mary's controls the pace, I think it gives them a better chance to frustrate Alabama, maybe force them to take some tough shots, and you know, and maybe get that thing down to a grindy pace, a slower pace, make it more physical than Alabama's going to want it with that free-flowing offense, and you have a better chance to walk out of there on top than you had the last 2 years. And you know, Charleston, I think we're going to find out a little bit more about. You know, I mean, they're number 99 overall in KenPom. They're 27-7, but you know, the conference they play in, you know, the Colonial Athletic Association, the CAA is not historically strong. Just looking at some of their KenPom numbers here, Zach, you know, again, not a very good defensive team. You know, they like to play fast as well. So again, it's going to be a contrast in styles. And how would they be able to deal with the physicality, assuming St. Mary's is able to get by Grand Canyon? How would they be able to deal with the physicality that St. Mary's is going to bring? So I think you're right. I think if you just look at this on paper, and again, Grand Canyon is a fantastic team. The Gale are going to have to get through a really good team first to get to that second round. But I agree. If you look at these three teams on paper, especially should St. Mary's win this first game, I think it presents Randy Bennett and the Gales their best opportunity to get to the Sweet 16 over these past 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, this Grand Canyon game, I think, is almost the tougher matchup than if they were to advance and get to Alabama or Charleston. But yeah, the Friday night is obviously you have to focus on who you have in front of you. This is going to be tough. I'm confident that St. Mary's does get by this game, but it's not going to be, this is going to be, I think we're going to see this kind of like where the spread has it at about 5.5. I think that's probably about right. I think we're going to be fighting down tooth and nail down to the end. Now, the fact that we got to be in Spokane for this trip, for this weekend, I'm sure like you've had some people, like some of the Zag fans who may have already seen the team, who may have already been in the hotel, like kind of what sort of like ribbing or back and forth has there been with maybe some Zag fans since you've arrived, or even in messaging back and forth from the time Selection Sunday happened?
You know, I haven't had much interaction with Gonzaga fans, to be honest with you, since Selection Sunday. You know, everybody I know with Gonzaga, I love. You know, I've developed a really good relationship with Tom Hudson and Adam Morrison, their entire radio team over there. Josh Cox, my guy in development. I love my friends at Gonzaga, and you know, all the Gonzaga fans that I met in Las Vegas were, you know, very congratulatory on the season that St. Mary's had. I think there's a healthy respect for the rivalry. There has been, certainly, though, just looking at the discourse online, there certainly has been a new level of venom, if you will, inserted into this rivalry. So, you know, I saw the quotes from the, you know, Anton Watson and Nolan Hickman and Graham Ike. You know, I think it's great for the rivalry, but you know, I think in your heart of hearts, if you're a Gonzaga fan or if you're a St. Mary's fan, you got to be pulling from the same end of the rope, man. I mean, it's the, you know, what's good for St. Mary's is good for Gonzaga. What's good for Gonzaga is good for St. Mary's all the way around. I mean, with the exception of, you know, maybe getting a little joy if you're a Gonzaga fan seeing St. Mary's lose or the other way around. But at the end of the day, we're all fighting the same battle. And I think it's a major sign of respect for the West Coast Conference of what these two programs have been able to do to give out two number five seats, you know, despite St. Mary's having a couple of quad three losses early in the season, albeit. But and also Gonzaga being on the bubble, what, 3 weeks ago, you know. But, you know, all the ribbing aside, it's great for the rivalry. I think it's great for college basketball. The fact that the heat has turned up again in this rivalry, because really, Zach, I mean, you go back 5 years ago and St. Mary's hadn't beat Gonzaga in a while. But now these two teams have split the last eight games. St. Mary's winning two of three this season, including both teams winning on each other's home floor. The heat is back in this rivalry. There's no doubt about it in my mind, both on the floor, the chippiness we saw in the WCC championship game, and off the floor of the, with the discourse between fan bases. But again, at the end of the day, I just think it is a fool's errand to really hope. And if St. Mary's takes the floor here to booze, I would understand it. But as the game goes on, all of our WCC brethren have to be pulling from the same end of the rope. Again, what's good for St. Mary's is good for Gonzaga. What's good for Gonzaga is good for St. Mary's. At the end of the day, to me, that's what it comes down to. All the other stuff is so much fun, and it's part of what makes college basketball great. But at the end of the day, St. Mary's and Gonzaga should be pulling for each other because of, you know, again, just the mutual, what happens to the other one is good for said school.
I agree. Like, I mean, I have them advancing to the Sweet 16. They are playing later today as we're recording this.
Gonzaga, by the way, Zach, I mean, I think you'll agree with me. Gonzaga got a good draw, in my opinion.
Yo, really, really good.
You know, I think
they have lucked out on that one.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, it's like I have them to the Sweet 16. I think, like, the Kansas matchup really favors them, assuming Kansas even gets by Samford with the pieces that they have missing. So it will be. A lot of people took McNeese. I'm not taking McNeese. I have too much respect for that Gonzaga program in this tournament to think anything other than they're at least going to win one game in this thing.
And right.
With the bracket, the way it broke out, it's like, this feels like it should be two.
Let me ask you a question, Zach. What is the what's the feedback you've gotten from Gonzaga fans? I saw Andy Patton came on this very show and picked against St. Mary's. I was like, oh,
yes,
Andy.
He did.
No, I got all the respect in the world. Obviously, Andy knows his stuff. So, but what's the messaging you've gotten from Gonzaga fans? I mean, obviously, your platform is well known across the WCC landscape.
I mean, it really does feel like it's pretty I think mostly it's pro St. Mary's, that they think both these squads are getting by the first weekend or getting through the first game. I think Gonzaga fans are definitely pretty confident now with the whole Kansas situation that they can get to, but Purdue is probably about where the train stops because of what that matchup looked like earlier in the year. For us, I think it's a little bit definitely one. I think it's, but they think there's still fair confidence that St. Mary's ends up can get to as well, with Alabama being that second game, which I think is fascinating in the building, because if with the pod that we have here in Spokane, if Alabama advances and Auburn on the other side advances, the Auburn fans, if they finish out theirs and they win, they'll still be in the building when Alabama St. Mary's begins.
Right.
And I am sure we talk about conference affiliation or whatnot. Auburn fans will actually not want Alabama to advance at all. So I think we might have a very pro St. Mary's crowd in that building. If they're able to advance and Auburn advances and Alabama advances, the Auburn fans may turn into St. Mary's fans in that on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know what? We can all communicate to Auburn and Alabama that St. Mary's Gonzaga, playing here in Spokane, is the West Coast Conference, really the West Coast version of Alabama-Auburn football. I kind of like that.
Yeah, so we convince them of that and like make friends with either it's Auburn or even San Diego State if they're the ones to advance, because like we played played them enough over the years. It's like, hey, we don't have to play each other now. We can actually just let's have the California schools advance, or it's like the anti Alabama folks also helping us out. So some sort of way of like that, of having that extra juice on the St. Mary's side if they are to advance to Sunday.
Right. Yeah, got to get through Friday first, of course. And at this time of the year, as Coach says, there are no bums, as he likes to say. You know, I mean, there all these teams are high quality teams. So I'm looking forward to Friday. It should be a heck of a game. St. Mary's and Grand Canyon, first time since I think Dan Marley was the head coach at Grand Canyon way back when in Moraga. But it'll be a heck of a matchup, and I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be fun tomorrow. All right, Alex, thanks for hopping on. It's always great to chat with you. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and follow on social media at Post by Zach. Once again, Alex, thanks for hopping on. We will see each other, if not later today, definitely on Friday for St. Mary's and Grand Canyon, first round of the NCAA tournament.
No doubt, Zach. Thanks for having me.